Hollywood. Theater brings you Gene Tierney, Walter Brennan, and Edmund O'Brien in The Amazing Mrs. Holliday. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. We bring you tonight a very different sort of holiday. It's The Amazing Mrs. Holliday, whose problems are as remarkable as the manner in which she solves them in Universal's highly entertaining screen hit of the same name. As the lady in question, we star a lovely candidate, Miss Jean Tierney, and co-starred with her are Walter Brennan and Edmund O'Brien. As for the children about whom so much of our action whirls, they're represented on our stage by a group of talented youngsters such as we in Hollywood are very proud of. Here's the first act of our play, The Amazing Mrs. Holliday, starring Gene Tierney as Ruth, Walter Brennan as Timothy, and Edmund O'Brien as Tom. The year is 1944. Ending a perilous voyage from the Orient, a crowded steamship has wearily come to rest in San Francisco Harbor. Clustered together in a corner of the pier, a group of solemn-faced little children stare gravely ahead, where a young woman talks in low tones to an immigration official.
Now, miss, about these children of yours.
Well, let's see, 8 of them, aren't there?
Yes, sir.
Are you related?
Just look at the little dears. Tell me now, did you ever see such well-behaved shavers in your life?
Mr. Blake, if you don't mind.
I wasn't saying a word, sir, not a word.
Well, don't. Not a word. Now then, miss.
No, I'm not really related.
How about their passports?
Oh, they have no formal passport.
Well, what kind have they?
Oh, the same kind all children have during a war. Fear, need for shelter, someone to...
Where did you get them?
In China. But only one is Chinese, the baby. It's hard to know what happens to children in a war unless you've lived where war is being fought. Then you'll do anything in the world for them.
I have the ship's report on you. Now, let's see. Sole survivors of the steamship Tulare, torpedoed and sunk by enemy action. Picked up by a convoy and transferred to steamship Westonia. Well, you've had quite an adventure.
Yes, sir.
Well, since you and Mr. Blake here are American citizens, you may leave the dock any time you wish.
What about my children?
I'm sorry, we'll have to detain them.
Oh, no,
unless
please.
Some reputable citizen posts a bond of $500 for each child.
Cash?
Cash, and guarantees they will not become public charges.
Oh, well, they won't be that. I'll go to work for them. I'm used to hard work.
The regulation states that reputable citizen must be someone already established in this country. Posting that cash is really the only way, miss. You'll need $4,000.
And all the money I have in the wide world is at the bottom of the ocean in the other pair of bridges.
Mr. Batson, you've heard of Commodore Holliday?
Oh, yes, miss. It was quite a blow to learn that he went down with the Tulare.
For 31 years, I served under the Commodore.
Before he died, he promised to take care of the children, to adopt them.
He did indeed. I'll swear to it.
Timothy, has the Commodore any family?
No, that's...
Oh, no,
idea.
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, I'm sure they'll help us. Mr. Batson, will you take care of the children until we get back?
We'll take very good care of them.
Thanks. Children.
Oh, yes, yes.
Children, now listen carefully. Timothy is coming with me, but we'll come back to you very, very soon.
How very soon?
In just a few hours, dear. Now be good and do whatever you're told.
We'll be very good.
I'll hurry, Mr. Batson. Timothy, do you know where the Commodore lives?
Of course I know, but I...
Then hurry. Goodbye, children.
Goodbye.
Timothy, yes, the family will see you. Follow me.
Timothy, it's such a big house.
Now you just leave everything to me and don't open your mouth.
Oh, no, I won't. But what'll I tell them? Why, the truth, of course.
Yes, of course.
Timothy, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Timothy.
Well, you seem to have spared my brother's fate, at least.
Well,
you with him, the Tulare was sunk?
Yes, ma'am.
They couldn't drown you, Timothy?
Timothy was born to be hanged.
Yes, ma'am.
Come in here. Did you wish to see me?
In a way, yes, sir. As the Commodore's lawyer,
you... Well, you just make out a complete report and bring it to the office in the morning.
You see, we were just discussing the disposal of this house.
So if you'll excuse us.
Yes, well, goodbye.
Maybe Timothy could use a little money.
Oh, yes. Yes, he could. Timothy, who is this girl?
She must be the one who was on the Tulare.
Oh, well, we're glad you were saved, young woman. Ferguson, give Timothy $20.
Oh, we need a lot more than that. We need $4,000.
What? We'd like to give you $4,000. We'd like to give everybody $4,000, but my dear...
It's for the children. Timothy, tell them.
I'm sorry, but we're really quite busy and you'll have to leave.
Now, wait a minute. The Commodore promised to take care of them, to adopt them.
Adopt who?
The children. There were 9 of them then.
Oh, perhaps that's what the cablegram meant.
Edgar.
Yes, dear.
He said there was lots of room in this house.
Sorry, my dear, but we're disposing of this house. After all, there's a war on, you know. And cut.
Yes, I know there's a war on. Come on, Timothy.
Wait a minute. I served your brother ashore in the fort for 31 years. And for 31 years I saw you vultures giving him from this and that. But I never thought I'd see the day when his own flesh and blood would turn out his widow and her helpless children.
Widow?
You heard me, his widow.
Do you mean to tell me... This girl, his widow?
Timothy,
they were married on the Tulare by Captain Anderson.
Thomas sent us that cablegram. I knew it meant something.
Timothy, are you sure of this?
Sure, I was their best man.
Why didn't you tell us this before?
I didn't mean to tell it at all.
Swore me to secrecy, she did.
Well, what does all this mean to us?
It means that an affidavit of that marriage signed by your old friend Timothy...
I'd sign 100 of them.
...will make this girl the legal widow of the Commodore.
That she is, that she is.
Who witnessed the marriage?
Henry Johnson, the first mate, and Peter Tracy, the engineer.
With all this entered in the logbook, Timothy?
Every word of it.
Where is the logbook?
Where the witnesses are, ma'am, at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, here's that cablegram he sent. See? Surprise, it says. Arriving soon.
That's all he said?
That's all he had to say. I can read between the lines, you know.
Yes.
Well, now, would you rather I go and stop by all the newspaper offices downtown?
Oh, no.
Or would you be treating the widow of the late Commodore Holliday in a manner befitting her station?
I'll have Henderson to paragraph.
Just a minute, please. The children. I have to get the children. Come along, Timothy.
It's the $4,000, Ferguson, if you please.
Of course. I'll make out a check immediately.
And as for anything else to make the Commodore's widow comfortable, and the little ones, I'm sure I can leave that to your own imagination. Oh, Henderson!
Did you call?
Yes. Send the station wagon around.
I beg your pardon.
You heard him, didn't you?
And Mrs. Holliday is picking up her children. Goodbye, my dear people. Well, Commodore, what do you think of us now? Look at you, hanging on the wall in the great big gold frame, the spitting image of your late departed self. You see this? A bottle of your best Irish whiskey. To your very good health, Commodore. Not bad. Not bad at all. How do you like me new outfit, Commodore? One of your suits, this is. Fits me like me old skin. Yes, sir. It's been a fortunate turn of events. I might say very fortunate. I think I'll just...
Who are you talking to?
Oh, me and the Commodore's portrait up there was having a bright exchange of conversation. Only for a change, I was doing the talking. I was... Well, look at you.
What's the matter?
Ruth. I never saw such a beautiful sight in all my life.
Be quiet or you're with the children. Just these new clothes. Timothy, which one is Karen?
Edgar's wife.
Well, Karen bought them for me.
Like an angel you are. An angel that's been on a bit of a toot.
A bit of a what?
You've got the staggers. Say, you haven't been drinking spirits.
Oh, it's these shoes. I don't know how to walk in these shoes. They have high heels.
Oh, you had me worried.
Speaking of spirits, hand that over, Timothy. That bottle.
Yes, ma'am.
What if the children saw it?
Oh, they're in bed, aren't they?
But they're not asleep yet.
Well, then, I'd take it downstairs to Henderson.
I'll take it to Henderson. Say goodnight to the children.
The little nippies. They're happy here, aren't they?
And they're overwhelmed, like I am. I hope they'll be happy.
Your dear in-laws, young lady, know on what side their bread is buttered.
The children have a home. That's all I'm worried about. As soon as I've had time to think, I'll find some way of getting out of here, and then...
Getting out of here? Have you lost your wit?
Timothy, it isn't honest, and you know it.
And where would you be going with their children?
I don't know, but I'll figure out something.
You just don't be in too much of a hurry. I've never enjoyed myself so much in army life. Well, I'll go see the kids.
Wait for me. I'll be right back. Mr. Henderson.
Hello.
Oh, good evening.
I'm in the right house, I hope. At least my key fits the door.
Well, this is the Holiday House.
Ah, that's what I thought. Look out now, look out. Take it easy on those stairs.
It's these heels. I'm not used to them.
Do you mind if I borrow that bottle and glass? I think I need a drink, too.
I haven't been drinking.
Oh, of course you haven't.
It's just these heels. Would you mind telling me who you are?
Oh, now you tell me who you are.
I'm Mrs. Holiday.
Which Mrs. Holiday?
Mrs. Thomas Holiday.
Mrs. Thomas Spencer Holiday?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, pour me one, quick.
Now, just a minute.
But I need it. I'm Thomas Spencer Holiday, and it's quite a shock to see a gorgeous young woman stagger down the stairs and announce that she's your wife.
I'm not your wife. I'm the widow of Commodore Holiday.
You're the widow? Oh. Well, then you're certainly not my wife. You're my grandmother.
Yes.
Now, suppose we settle down and you tell me exactly what your racket is.
My, what is?
Come on, spill it. When does the payoff come?
I still don't understand you.
How did you get to be my grandmother?
Oh, well, I was in China, and so...
So was my grandfather.
Yes. I was on board his ship with the children.
Oh. Oh, there are children, too.
Eight children.
Eight children.
Yes. We lost one. Little Peppy.
Poor little Peppy. But there are still eight left.
Four girls and four boys. One is a little Chinese baby.
A what? And my grandfather knew about all of them?
Oh, yes. It was all his idea. He said he had a big house and there was no reason why...
Well, why don't you stop? My family's been in the shipping business for generations. Every time there's a disaster, somebody like you turns up and tries to work a racket. Yours is new only because the numbers are bigger. I still don't believe any part of your story, see? Children and all.
Lucy, we want to say goodnight to Lucy.
Yes,
oh, no.
I thought I'd put all of you to bed once.
Eight of them. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. There are eight.
Now go back. Good night, darling. Sleep well.
Good night.
Huh?
I think I'd better tuck them in. Good night. Mr. Holiday.
Good night. No, wait. I've seen him, I've heard him, and I've counted him. But I still don't get it. Now, where did you and the Commodore get the little group together?
Really, I have to go up to the children. Everybody's coming here for dinner.
I'll give you 10 minutes. I'll be waiting right here. I want the whole story before dinner.
Very well. I'll tell you.
Henderson?
I beg your... Why, Mr. Todd.
Hello, Henderson.
Oh, so glad to see you back, sir. Safe and sound.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
Oh, too bad about the Commodore, wasn't it, sir?
Yes, it was.
An amazing man, wasn't he?
You mean,
Yes.
No. Well, perhaps we just didn't understand him as well as we thought we did. Well, I'll help you get my bags. They're outside.
Oh, yes, sir. You're planning to stay here?
Well, this is my home, isn't it?
Oh, indeed, sir, but...
Now, look, you don't think I believe that story about the Commodore marrying her, do you?
I don't know, sir, I'm sure.
Henderson, it looks as if I got home just in time.
Hello. I see you're waiting for me.
Of course I am. Get them all tucked in?
Yes, thank you.
And you suddenly learned to walk in high heels, eh?
Oh,
What's the matter?
I took them off, my shoes.
Well, slip them on again.
I do very well where it's flat, but I have a little trouble with the steps.
You're going to have a little trouble with me, too.
Oh, is anything wrong?
Oh, no, not a thing in the world. Whose children are they?
Well, in a sense, they're everybody's. Or at least that's the way you feel about it when a war sends them to you. These were refugees. It's hard for me to explain what I mean exactly.
I know what you mean, I think. My ship's just come from England. I've seen a lot of those kids.
Mine came to our school. Sort of mission my father started many years ago.
Where?
Not far from Burma. I lived there almost all my life. A few months ago, the bombers came. Before my father died, he told me to get the children to Calcutta. He had a friend there. He told me to keep them together as one family. You see, by the time we left, none of them had anyone. Only each other and me.
I see. But this house isn't Calcutta, is it?
No, it isn't.
Before you came, we were planning to get rid of it.
Yes.
Well, I'll be leaving soon, 2 or 3 weeks, as soon as our new ships get off the ways. You see, Grandpa had quite a big shipping business, or didn't you know?
I knew.
That's what I thought. Well, after I go, anything you want to change around, just suit yourself.
Thank you.
You know, it's going to be kind of funny calling you grandmother. I could call you Mrs. Holliday, except people would think we're not friends. Henderson told me your name is Ruth. I think I'll call you Ruth. While it may seem a little undignified, I think you'd better call me Tom.
If you like.
I was very fond of the Commodore. We never showed much affection for each other, but down deep... Oh, well, I guess he died the way he wanted to. At sea, on his own ship. He must have been very happy that last voyage.
I don't know. I saw very little of him.
Oh?
Why, that sounds like the baby.
The baby? Has he got a cold? He sounds hoarse.
I better go up and see what's wrong.
Every time we start to talk about something interesting, those kids of yours manage to break it up.
Excuse me.
Sure. I'll see you at dinner.
What in the world?
Yeah, that hurt your throat. How am I doing?
Terrible.
Yeah. I see you're getting into deep water, so I thought I'd better throw you a line.
Timothy, we should never have told that lie.
Why not? It worked better than the truth, didn't it?
Why didn't you tell me about the Commodore's grandson?
How did I know he was coming home?
Oh, they're here. The family's here for dinner. Timothy, what am I going to do?
Do? Well, you're going to eat.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can. Come on now.
All right. It will be as good a time as any to get it over with.
Get what over with?
The truth, Timothy. I'll tell them the truth at dinner.
An hour later, and seated in the vast hall called the dining room, the Holliday clan is gathered at the dinner table. The meal has been long and silent. But now as coffee's being served, Mrs. Edgar Holliday looks at Ruth and breaks the embarrassed quiet.
My dear, you've done nothing for 10 minutes but stare at us.
I'm sorry. But there's something I must...
Is there any more coffee around here? What do I have to do to get a decent-sized cup of coffee?
Simply ask, Timothy, in a normal tone. Lucy.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me about the Commodore, Ruth. How had his health been? Did he still smoke cigars, chain fashion?
Cigars?
Commodore never smoked in his life, and you know it.
I'm surprised he never mentioned you in his letters.
Well,
I don't think the Commodore ever mentioned his family, did he, Mrs. Holliday?
No, he didn't.
But I'm sure he mentioned he was fabulously wealthy and that you, as his widow...
I'd better explain that, Aunt Louise. Under the terms of the trust, the Commodore's widow has certain fixed rights in the company as well as certain properties and interests.
Oh, but I don't want any rights or money. I just want the children to be safe.
I beg your pardon.
Yes, Henderson?
Some persons from the press are here. They want to see Mrs. Holliday.
Tell them we'll be right out. Now, all of you, try to hide your personal feelings and act like one big happy family.
Oh, must I see them? The port is not...
I'm afraid so. But don't worry, we'll see them with you.
Now then, Mrs. Holliday, how long did you know the Commodore before you married him?
Why, I hardly knew him at all.
Ah, love at first sight.
Oh, no, he just wanted to help the children.
It must have been quite a surprise to the family.
Oh, not at all.
The Commodore radioed the day of the wedding, told us all about this lovely girl.
Look this way, please, Mrs. Holliday.
What?
Thank you. Now, how about one smile?
Oh, please.
Go on, give me a smile. Fine. Now, one more. This time, sad, huh? You're thinking about the Commodore.
Can we have a picture of the children, Mrs. Holliday?
Well, they're all asleep now. Maybe some other time. Look, I don't mean to be rude, but you'll just have to excuse me. You'll just have to excuse me. Oh, please, children. No questions now. Just try to be very quiet going down the stairs. Are we all here?
Yes, they're all here, and you're a raving lunatic.
I simply have to get out of this house.
I'm right. You heard what she said, Shelley.
Would someone mind telling me what this is all about?
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
We decided that the place is just too big for us.
Where are you going?
We're going away.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't.
Ruth says we have to go.
At 4 o'clock in the morning? Timothy, take the children back to bed.
I'm sorry, but we're leaving.
Not now, please. I want to talk to you first.
Gee, come on, kids. Back your own.
Ruth!
Oh, very well. Here, take the baby, Elizabeth. And quiet. He's still sleeping.
I'll be careful, Ruth.
I know how you feel, and I want to apologize. Let's go downstairs.
You don't have to apologize.
Oh, my relatives have bad manners. You see, they've been waiting around for Grandpa's money for years.
I don't think you understand.
Sure I do. You're not interested in the money. You're in the middle of the war with a lot of children. He asked you to marry him, and you did.
No, that isn't right.
Well, however it happened, it's none of our business.
But it didn't happen. I didn't marry the Commodore. That was a lie.
What?
The part about the children is the truth. He did say he'd help, even if he had to adopt them.
But you didn't marry him? Well, what about the cablegram? He spoke of a surprise, or did you send that?
I'll tell you. I first met your grandfather in the cable office. The children and I had been waiting for days, trying to get on a boat.
Get this cable off right away, clerk.
Yes, sir. Surprise sailing. We'll have to take out the sailing, Commodore. Sorry. Arriving San Francisco soon. We'll have to take out the San Francisco too, I'm afraid. But the rest can go all right.
There isn't any rest.
Sorry, sir. Censorship.
All right. Just get it off.
Yes, sir.
Pardon me. Who was that gentleman?
Commodore Holliday, miss.
You mean that tea ship out there?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Elizabeth,
yes, Ruth?
Round up the children quick. And follow me. I'm going to the pier.
Someone's calling you, Commodore. I've got ears. What is it?
Commodore Holliday. Is
your ship going to Calcutta?
It is.
Oh, I'm so glad.
You are?
You see the children back there. We just came down the Burma Road. There's no other way for us to leave her unless we go on your ship.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, but I have to get the children to Calcutta.
We're not allowed to carry passengers.
Oh, I think it'd be kind of nice to have a couple of them aboard, sir. Just one or two kids.
There are only nine of them, sir.
Nine? Nine children?
They're very small children.
Oh, I'm sorry, young lady. Get aboard, Dennis.
Hey, sir. After you, sir. Stick around.
Isn't there something I can do?
If the Commodore says it's orders, it's orders.
Wait for me right here.
Dennis! Coming, sir. Coming.
It was Timothy who got us aboard the Tulare. And between his cabin and the storeroom, we managed to make ourselves very comfortable. Then one day, while I was feeding the children, the door suddenly opened.
How did you get aboard my ship?
It's all right, children. There's nothing to be frightened about.
Answer my question.
I'll be glad to answer your question on deck.
Well, maybe you're right. Come on out on deck.
Really a very disagreeable old man. You have to roar like that in front of those poor children?
I wasn't roaring at the children.
And there's no need to roar at me.
How did you get
on? Keep going, because we must get to Calcutta.
We're not going to Calcutta.
But you said we were. You told me.
These are war times. I can't reveal my destination. Have you got any papers?
I have, but not the children. They're all war orphans.
Any relatives in the United States?
No. We're going to the United States?
We are. And when we land, the children will be placed with the proper authorities.
Oh, but they can't be separated. They've gone through so much together. I gave my word that
we'll worry about that in San Francisco.
But I don't know anyone in San Francisco.
You know him, don't you?
So you're responsible for
the
this.
The Commodore here owns half of San Francisco.
Shut up.
Yes, sir.
Oh, please. Promise me that the children will be allowed to stay together and that I'll be allowed to stay with them.
Stop that prattle. Now, listen to me. Those confounded children are on my ship. And I'll get them into the country if I have to adopt every last one of them and swear I've known them all my life.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Commodore.
And I'll get back to them before I throw the whole lot of you in irons.
Commodore, you're a wonderful man.
I've
wonderful.
A good mind to wring your neck.
Yes.
And stop wearing my socks.
You don't know what it meant to us. Getting into the United States was like getting into heaven. That night it happened. The submarine found us. Timothy and I got the children into a lifeboat. It wasn't until we were some distance from the ship that we found that little Pepe had been lost behind. The ship was a mass of flames, and as we stood there looking at it helplessly... Pepe!
He's dead, Lucky. He has the Commodore to look after him now. I'm Mr. Commodore, and I think wherever he goes, he'll miss me a bit, too.
We were the only survivors. We were picked up by the Westonia 2 days later. You know the rest. We came here for help, and then we made up that lie.
You sure told a good one.
It was a terrible mistake. I'll do anything you want me to do, only please let us go.
You can't go. You're barreled in. We're all in a spot.
Why? I don't understand.
You will tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.
Yes, that's very kind of you, Senator.
Where are they?
Huh? Yes, the sea was his life.
But you can't hurt them.
Yes, it is a little strange. A 21-year-old grandmother.
Oh, please, Senator.
I'll tell the family you called.
Oh,
goodbye,
please.
Senator.
Please.
What in the world are you talking about?
The children, they're gone.
They're not gone. And how do you expect me to talk long distance when you're...
Not gone?
No, if you had sense enough to look out that window, you'd see...
What? Oh, thank goodness.
I told them about Victory Gardens, and they wanted to stop, and Timothy's helping them.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry.
You're sorry? I've been answering this telephone since 7:30. Telegrams, reporters, radio stations. It was on the radio. Did you know that?
What was on the radio?
You. All about you and the children. Something else. I talked to the immigration department.
Immigration?
They're putting through permits for the children to stay.
Oh, thank you.
I'll keep them here. I'll see that they're well cared for as long as the Commodore promised you that. But... you'll have to go.
Leave them? Oh, but I... of course. I'll go. I'll leave today.
You can't leave today.
I will leave today.
You can't until the immigration department sends the permits.
Oh.
And while you're here, try to act as Mrs. Holliday would.
Is that what you meant last night about getting barreled in? You mean you're ashamed of it?
I mean this newspaper. You're on the headline.
What if I am? What's that got to do with my leaving?
You disappear now, there'd be a scandal. You want to make a laughingstock out of my grandfather?
I just don't want to be Mrs. Holliday.
Well, you should have thought of that sooner. When you do leave, you'll make up some excuse about going to see relatives.
I haven't any relatives.
Well, invent some. The way you invented a husband. Where'd your family come from?
Philadelphia.
I'll arrange transportation for you to go there the day the children's permits arrive.
Well, I'll do anything you say.
Oh, I thought I might take the kids to the airport this afternoon.
Oh, they're scared to death of planes.
I know. But I thought if they saw him firsthand, it might help them to get over it.
It might be a very good idea. What time do you want us to be ready?
Oh, don't bother coming. I'll handle them all right. They'll be back in plenty of time for dinner.
Thank you.
Did you want to see me?
Oh, yes. I haven't had a chance to talk with you since I brought the kids back from the airport.
They enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Well, I've been wondering, since the children are likely to remain here indefinitely, is their health good?
I see, after what they've survived. However, I think they could all stand a checkup and... their teeth.
All right. Yes, I'll make a note. Teeth doctor and dentist. Now, how about psychologically? Any neuroses? You know, mental stuff?
Oh, no. They're very normal children.
Nobody's normal. At least that's what this book says. It also says that children must have a feeling of security.
They like you. They'll feel secure with you.
Well, they may miss you.
For a while, maybe. You've heard something about the permit?
Oh, no. But as soon as they arrive...
I'll leave.
I didn't say that. I was about to say
good
that...
Good morning, Mr. Holliday.
That's you.
Oh, yes. Lucy?
The children want you to come up and put them to bed. They say they won't go to sleep unless you do. I kind of think they mean it.
Excuse me.
Sure.
Why don't you come up?
Sorry, I have a date.
It's just to say goodnight.
Oh. Well, I guess I've got time for that. Something I should know about anyway.
It won't take long.
Goodnight, Lucy. Goodnight. I prayed for everybody.
Me too. For both of you. Good boy. Come on now. Put your hands in. Good night.
I want to say good night to him.
Oh. Well, good night,
Kim.
Good night, Teddy.
Hey, no kissing stuff.
Oh. Sorry.
Fellas shake hands.
Why, sure they do. Like this.
Oh, the baby's asleep already.
Yes, and we mustn't wake him.
Hey, he's cute, huh?
Very.
See him like this, you'd never think he cries so much.
That's only because he misses his mother. He's a very nice little boy.
We ought to find a name for him, hadn't we?
Oh, we do have a name for him.
You have?
We call him Tom.
Huh?
We call him Tom. Like you.
Oh.
Now go to sleep, everyone. No more noise. Go to sleep.
That was... That wasn't so hard.
You're not finished yet. The girls.
Oh, the girls. Same thing?
Just about. You'll be better at it this time. You've had some practice.
Dinner after lunch. He says that he's taken to the shipyard. You know, Ruth, I believe he's crazy for those kids.
I'm glad they're gone.
Is something wrong, Ruth?
Timothy, will you please get me a railroad ticket right away?
What for?
I'm going to Philadelphia. Maybe I can find somebody there who knew my mother and father.
Well, you're not going away today.
I have to leave before the children get back, please.
You're running away. You're falling for that guy. You think you're fooling me, do you? Well, if ever I saw a girl falling in love head over heels, step by step...
Timothy! The letter from the immigration department. It came to him.
Oh. Then... what do you want to tell the children?
Nothing. I just want to be gone by the time they get back.
Well, maybe you're right.
Get me the ticket, Timothy.
I'll try.
All right. Who's next?
Hey, here, mister. Take my place. I'm in no hurry.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Ticket to Philadelphia, she says. She can't go. She can't.
This window, please. I'll take care of some of you people over here. Yes, sir? Yes, sir?
Who, me?
What can I do for you?
Well, you know there's a war on.
Yes, I've heard something about it.
And sure, there's no chance of getting a ticket to Philadelphia. Now, is there? I've got to have a drawing room.
Everything going east is sold out.
Oh, dear me, dear me. What a pity. This party was set to leaving today. I suppose there's... nothing can be done, huh?
No, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. Just the same and very good day to you.
Am I nuts or what?
Well, you tried, Timothy, me boy. She won't believe me, though. I tried to get a ticket. What more can I do? You just can't get a train tonight for Philadelphia.
Well, that's all right. I'm just going to Los Angeles.
Nuts. She's mad. She's quite mad.
Hey, mister, are you in luck?
What's that? What's that?
Just got a cancellation. Fix your ride up. Let's hurry before somebody else grabs it. Come on.
Hello. Hello, Tom. Is that you?
Yes.
I've been trying to get you for hours. It's me, Timothy.
Yes, what's the matter?
Plenty's the matter. But I can't talk now. She's coming.
What?
Don't ask her many questions. Just meet me at the end of the clock on the railroad station in half an hour. And don't say it. Goodbye.
Thirty minutes, Tom Holliday is a very busy man. He's rushed the children home from their visit to the shipyard and dashed to the railroad station in response to Timothy's mysterious phone call. Under the clock, Timothy's waiting for him, his face lit up with a strange and somewhat suspicious glow.
I thought you'd never get here, Tom.
Well, what's this all about? Are you drunk?
You're never more sober in my life.
Well, all right, what's the matter?
It's Ruth. She's leaving.
What? Leaving?
That's why I phoned you. She's in the waiting room. Look here. See? Look over there.
Ruth.
She's waiting for the train to Philadelphia.
Well, what happened?
Well, say, you see that fella sitting next to her there? That's her fiancé. She's gone with her fiancé. The guy she's going to marry.
Marry?
Ah, look at him. Met him in China, she did. He saw her picture in the paper, and she was so glad to hear from him, she decided to get married. He's one of them flying tigers.
Flying tiger? He's not even in uniform.
I think he's out of uniform now. He's trying to get into the intelligence. He's an intelligent fella.
But are you sure she's going to marry him?
Sure she is. And she'll be out of your sight forever. Of course, that doesn't worry you any.
Oh, no. What? No. Why should it?
Well, I guess I ought to go over there and wish them good luck.
Hey, do that, me boy. Hurry up. You've not much time.
I beg your pardon. Do you have the time, please?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just 20 minutes to 5.
Thank you.
Well, I hear you're leaving.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Huh?
I said hello.
Oh, hello.
I'm sorry you had to leave so suddenly.
I thought it would be better if I left today.
Yes. Oh, my name is Holiday, Tom Holiday.
Huh? Oh, my name is Jeff Adams. I'm glad to know you. I'm
glad to know you. Well, she's a great girl.
She is? Well, she certainly seems to be very nice.
Well, I hope you'll be very happy.
I'll be perfectly all right, Duncan.
Adams, you're a lucky fellow.
Me? Oh, you bet your life I am.
Tom, there's something you ought to know about Rodney. He was ill on the boat. Just be careful about what he eats.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, Jeff, she's always worrying about those children. She's great with kids.
Oh, I'm crazy about kids myself.
Oh, will you excuse me? I'd like to tell her something, and it's sort of private.
Oh, sure, sure. Go right ahead.
Here, take my seat.
Oh, no.
Go on, sit down.
No, really, that's all right. Ruth, I'll just tell the children that you had to leave suddenly. Later on, I'll tell them the rest.
Oh, please try to explain it so that they'll understand.
Oh, I will. What time does your train leave, Jeff?
Oh, a few minutes now.
You don't mind if I walk down to the platform with you?
Oh, no.
You don't mind, Jeff, do you?
Oh, no.
You know, Jeff, I'd like to buy a little present for you.
You would? Oh, but why should you want to do that for me?
Well, I just like to.
Say, this friend of yours is really a swell egg.
You just take good care of her, Jeff.
Oh, I'll be glad to. You don't have to worry about a thing. Anybody travels with Jeff Adams travels all right.
And anytime you want the children to visit you, or if you want to visit the children, why, come right along.
Oh, sure. What children?
Her children. Well, you don't think she'd forget them after you get married.
Married? Hey, what kind of a racket is this? Aren't you trying to stay in there and tell me I'm going to marry her? I'm not going to marry anybody.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not. I've heard about people like you before. I want a witness. Hey, mister.
Yeah, what's the trouble?
Mister, trying to tell me I'm going to marry this girl.
Oh, no, please. It's been a mistake.
Don't you pull any of this stuff on me. I've been around, sister. I want a policeman.
Well, you've come to the right man. Leave everything to me. Now listen to me, the pair of you. Get out of here. I'll handle him.
You'd better.
But I...
Come on, no back talk now. Get the pair of you. Get. Well, here they go, mister. I got rid of them for you.
You know him, huh?
Never saw him before in all my life.
I ought to follow him as a public-spirited citizen.
Now listen here, citizen. The train for Philadelphia leaves in just 1 minute.
1 minute? Oh, gee whiz, gee, I'll...
57 seconds now. 56, 55. Go on,
Don't worry. I'll make it. Oh, boy.
52 seconds.
Philadelphia? Hey, wait a minute. I'm going to praise now.
Hello. Hello, is that you, Tom?
Timothy?
Yes.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm still in the station. I figured I'd better stay here till I found out if you'd let me come in the house again.
You realize what you did to me?
Yes, sir.
Well, at least we stopped Ruth from leaving. Come on home.
Yes, sir.
On your way back, get some stamps.
Stamps?
Yeah, about 200. We'll be sending out some invitations.
Congratulations.
What for?
Getting married, are you and Ruth?
Oh, of course not. We've decided to give a reception.
A reception?
Yes, for charity.
Oh.
So get those stamps and come on home.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thanks anyway for the idea.
A lovely reception, Louise.
Thank you, my dear.
Great car, Edgar. Ought to raise a lot of money tonight.
A disgrace to the name of Holiday.
What's the disgrace?
I saw him just now out on the terrace. I knew it all the time.
And what are you going to do about it?
I don't know, but I'm going to do something. And there's one way of waking it up, at least for the time being. It's just about the ceremony.
No, my dear.
Now, Henderson?
Yes, madam.
Tell Mr. Tom he's wanted in here, if he can break away.
Yes, madam.
Good evening,
evening, sir. If I may have your hat, sir. The reception's right in...
Now, don't faint, Lucy. Don't faint.
Commodore, but I thought... We thought...
I don't look dead, do I? What's going on here?
A reception, sir. In your memory.
In my memory? Well, that's something I'd want to... I've got to see. I don't want to miss that, do I, Pepe?
Pepe?
Say hello to Lucy, Pepe.
Hello.
She thinks we're ghosts. No, Lucy, we never felt better in our lives. I'll take care of Pepe. I'm going inside.
But, Commodore...
Oh, I wouldn't miss this for the world. Oh, my widow. I understand I've got a widow. Where is she?
She's in there, too, sir.
Well, cheer up, Lucy. I'm home again.
In memory of the late departed Commodore, I wish he were here tonight to speak for himself.
Speak for myself, eh?
I wish he had been among us to hear the wonderful speech just made by his beautiful wife. To see so many of his old friends gathered here to aid this deserving cause. And I'm sure if he were here, he'd say...
Sit down. You talk too much.
But I'm sure that as he looks upon us from that faraway place, he gives his blessing to what we are doing tonight in his memory. Every gift that you good people donate tonight, we, the Holliday family, will match dollar for dollar. So step right up with your fine pledges. All right, now who'll be the first one?
You know what I'm going to do, Timothy? I'm going to give $10 just for the pleasure of seeing them lay $10 of the old buzzard's money.
Well, Henderson, you know, I don't think the Commodore would like all this.
Like it? He was the stingiest man in San Francisco.
He was, eh?
Certainly was. I suppose the old boy's a pretty good sailor, though, eh?
Good sailor? Ha! Oh, why, every voyage we made, he was so seasick the first 2 days I had to walk the ship for him.
Really? And did you know this? He loved to knit.
No.
Oh, yes. Made all his own socks himself.
Made these himself, did he?
Let me see. Oh, yes, that's his favorite pair you got on.
Oh, I could tell you things that would make your hair curl. But, of course, we can only speak kindly of the dead.
You must have known the old man very well.
Well, I should have. I served him 31 years.
Yes?
He died in the arms, he did.
He did?
He did that. There we were on the bridge, and he... Oh, Commodore!
Take care of him, Big Mouth. I've got other things to do.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes, it's me, all right.
But you're dead.
No, sir, I ain't dead. Hello, Edgar.
Oh, it's Tom.
And Louise. What are you crying for? Disappointed? Hello, Tommy.
Grandpa. Well, boy, you certainly fooled us. How do you feel?
Never better. But I've got something to say to these people. Now, where's that girl? Where's that girl that says she's my widow?
I'm here, Commodore.
Oh, yes, sir. All right, everybody. This girl here was on my ship, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Came aboard with 9 children, didn't you? I didn't want her on my ship. No, nor the kids either.
But I...
She told me her story, and I believed her. I believed she was a fine, honest girl. But all those days at sea after the disaster, I never changed my opinion. I thought she was lost, and I felt sorry for her. And when I heard she was saved, that you all accepted her as my widow, I was very surprised. And as I look at her now, I can only say that I don't believe there's a person in this house that knows how happy I am that fate has spared my dear wife.
Thank you.
Is there somebody for me, Will?
No, sir.
All right, now take me upstairs. I want to see those kids. They look fine, just fine. Congratulations, young woman.
Don't you think you'd better go downstairs now, Commodore?
No, not yet. Oh, here's Tom. Say, what's your name?
Ruth.
Grandpa, I'd like to talk to you alone.
No, business talk tonight. I'm too tired.
Oh.
Tom, I can't tell you what this means to me. I've got something to live for now, bringing up those kids and taking care of my wife. We'll make this house a very happy place, Ruth.
Grandpa.
What?
You haven't been exposed to a lot of sun, have you?
Not a bit. Rain most of the time.
You weren't hit on the head during the explosion?
Not a scratch. Well, Tom, what do you think of your grandma?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, sir.
No, Tom, I'll tell him. Commodore, we really weren't married on that ship.
I know we weren't. Not really.
Oh.
So we'll get married again. Make it good and legal.
Thomas!
What is it, Louise?
There's something I must tell you.
You don't have to tell him tonight.
I most certainly do.
Oh, stop beating around the bush.
All right, I will. Your wife and your grandson here, by this very night, out on the terrace,
that's enough, Louise. So you like your grandmother, do you, Tom?
She's right, Grandpa. I love her.
We just wanted to...
Well, that's as it should be. A grandson ought to love his grandmother.
No. No, you don't understand, Grandpa.
Sure I do, sure. Now come downstairs, all of you. We'll talk about it later. After I announce the wedding.
But, Commodore...
Not another word. Come on now. I've got something to tell you, folks. Something you'll want to hear. There's going to be a wedding here in a few days.
Oh, no, Grandpa, no.
Please, Commodore.
And I want you all to come to it. This young lady and I were never married at all. But in 3 days, she's going to be Mrs. Holliday. And it's going to be good and legal and right. Because she's going to marry young Tom.
Grandpa.
Don't you think something hit me on the head, Ruth?
I think...
Wait a minute. It's understood you live in this house and the kids, too.
If you'll have us, Grandpa.
All right, then. Go on. Kiss him.
Oh, Tom.
Yes, like you did on the terrace, honey. Louise will like that. There, that's just fine. There's just one more thing. Timothy?
Yes, Grandpa.
Take off my sock.
Our curtain falls on the amazing Mrs. Holliday and rises again on... This is William Keeley, saying goodnight to you from Hollywood.
The gloomy aisles, black plastered and hung round with shreds of scutcheons and tattered coats of arms, send back the sound. Laden with heavy arrears from the low vaults, the mansions of the dead, walls with the rumbles and grim array, the grisly specters rise, grim, horrible, and obstinately sullen path and repath, hushed as the foot of night. Again, with reach. Ungracious sound.
He hasn't got very far. Hardly any distance. He must have a punctured kilt. But he's a very good hark poet, is Blair. Very fine. So, by the way, is Somerville, as you can hear from Robin Holmes outside the front portico at Edston.
Hark, from yon covert where those towering oaks, above the humble copse aspiring rise, what glorious triumphs burst in every gale upon our ravished ears.
He's in splendid form. Now, quickly, over to Belford. Come in, Belford.
Hark, through yon village now, as the rattling clamour rings, the barns, the cots, and leafless elms return the joyful sound.
They're going beautifully now. There's Blair.
Ah, where is the lifted arm, the strength of action and the force of words, the well-turned period and the well-tuned voice, with all the lesser ornaments of phrase? Ah, too dearly bought, the price is life, for now the treacherous turf trembling gives way, and the unwieldy beast self-sinking drops into the dark profound. Ah, gentle shepherd, thine the lot to tend of all that feel distress, the most assailed, feeble, defenseless, lenient by thy care. Ah, where is the lifted arm? Ah, fled forever as they ne'er had been.
Two quick hours from there, and Dyer comes back with an owl.
Oh, in the sprinkling clouds, your bleating hills rejoice with herbage, while a horrid rage.
Hello? He's been shot in his arms. Something seems to have gone wrong at Edston. We better see what's happening.
Bang! Bang!
Ah. Well, Somerville's still out shooting, and he's been joined by Mr. Watts, as you can hear.
Bang! Bang!
I think some of the shot must have strayed in Wolvenhelm's direction, but I think he's all right. He seems to be reading beautifully from here.
Nor can his tender wound bear the cold stream. Lo, to yon hedgy bank he weeps disconsolate.
Oh, yes. He's really back in form and lowing beautifully.
On pointed spears they lift him up in air. Wriggling he hangs and grins and bites in vain. Bid the loud horns in gaily warbling strains proclaim the felon's fate. He dies! He dies!
I can't believe it. Who could have believed such a thing could happen? Run over by the hunt as he was coming down the last page. They're carrying Holmes up the steps now. He's not badly hurt, but he's very shaken, of course, and terribly disappointed.
Do you get him a glass of the blood-red wine? Oh, that'll fix him up. Or he's hit the bottle behind the cat food in the dresser.
He's out of it, I'm afraid. The hounds have torn his book to pieces. Dark Green, published by James Nicol of Edinburgh in 1859, priced 2 shillings in the plain wrapper with an introduction by the Reverend George Gilfillan. Absolutely irreplaceable. Oh, what a ghastly thing. Well, there's no point staying in here. Dyer and Blair are still in the field, and Blair seems to have more than made up for his poor start, so over to Dyer.
"'Twas there perils and conflicts, inexpressible anthem, with steady undespairing breast endured, when o'er the various globe he chased his country's foes. Fast gathering tempest roused huge ocean and involved him. All around whirlwind and snow and hail and horror. Now...
something's gone wrong with Dyer. The umpire's gone up to him. Dyer's holding his arms and one leg about. The umpire's shaking his head. He's out. My God, he's out. I'll see if I can get him to tell us what happened.
What happened, Dyer? What went wrong?
I swallowed a bloody fly. Flew straight down my throat. On book 4, I was. I'll win next year, though, you see. There's filthy luck for you. Injustice, that's what it is. And what about poor Robin Bloody Holmes, knocked down by the hunt? He never asked to read that poem. It was his day off and all. And me, the foremost poet in the country, disqualified for swallowing a fly. Where's the justice in that? I'm asking you, where's the justice?
Taking this rather badly. Dyer, pull yourself together, man. The umpire's decision is final, even if it is wrong. Dyer, there's your sense of sportsmanship.
All power to the Soviet. Arise, ye towering from your slumber.
Dyer. Dyer. What on earth will your queen think of you if she can see you making a noise like that?
All right, boys, that's all for this year. Tuck it in. Get these bloody sheep out of here.
The nymphs and shepherds bus will be leaving in 1 minute from the car park. In 1 minute. The nymphs and shepherds bus from the car park. And before we go, I'd like to show our thanks and appreciation to the People's Republic of China for the use of the choir. Thank you, and Uncle Bao.
Well, I don't know. What a race. Well, now it must be Blair, and he's coming down the last page reading beautifully, effortlessly.
How cloudless now and cheerful is thy day. What joys, what raptures in thy bosom play. How bright the sunshine and how pure the air. There's no difficulty of breathing there.
The crowd's going mad.
No force shall rip me from this bleeding heart. Oft shall I think o'er all I've left in thee. Nor shall oblivion blot thy memory. But grateful love this energy expressed. A father gone, now for the fatherless.
Furthermore, Sir Patrick Spens is the best
That was Sir Patrick Spens Rides Again, or the Great Round Britain Poetry Race of 1971, presented by Spike Milligan. The Reverend Robert Blair was written by James Urquhart, William Somerville Esquire by Robin Holmes, the Reverend John Dyer by Douglas Blackwell. Peter Tubman also had his moments. The program was written and produced by Robert Craddock. Additional material by the Reverend George Gilfillan and the producer's grandfather, William. The part of the Eldon Knight was played by Sir Patrick Spens, who is now appearing off Aberdeen in 50 Fathoms of Water. Oh, long, long may the ladies sit with their fans into their hand, or ere they see Sir Patrick Spens come sailing to the land.
Oh, long, long may the ladies stand with their gold combs in their hair, waiting for their own dear lords, for them they'll see Namer.
Oh, 40 miles off Aberdeen, 'tis 50 fathoms deep, and there lies good Sir Patrick Spens, with the Scots Lairds at his feet.